Hi.
Hey guys, welcome back to the Creepy Kids podcast. Wow, I'm so excited.
Yeah, I just wanna read.
Yeah, same. Wow, so I think I'm actually kind of tired from the last episode.
Yeah.
I can still feel the soreness. So yeah, hope you guys enjoyed that. But we are going to be doing things a little differently this time around. So, we are not going to be narrating the entire thing in one episode. So, we are going to be doing things a bit differently. And I don't think that we should reveal what we are doing. We'll just start. And then...
And we'll just leave.
Yeah, we'll just leave
them with a cliffhanger.
So, that's what we are going to do.
Yeah.
Anyway, so we have a great episode planned. So, I have a weird question for you. It's not weird, but it's just like a question for you. What's your favorite accompaniment with food?
Food?
Yep.
I like pickles sometimes.
Yep.
And chutney.
Oh, yeah.
Green chili sauce.
That's my favorite. Yeah. So if you guys don't know what chutney is, it's an Indian sauce, and if you are not Indian, then I want you to literally go on the internet, watch a recipe and try it, because it's so good. It's so good. So yeah, I think we should just, you know, I could start with like a weird question and then you could end the episode with a gag joke.
Okay.
That's what we're going to do. This podcast is all about, what's the word I'm looking for?
Conversations
and,
us about friends and friends. So, I don't know.
I literally had that word in my mind. It's all about experimenting.
Yeah.
So we're not going to be sticking with the same thing. We're going to be experimenting a lot with this. So So I am sure that they just want us to start. So this story is titled Shadow in the Dark.
Ooh.
So if you're not familiar with, if you didn't listen to the last episode, we are narrating stories from the book called Ghosts of the Silent Hills. So this is going to be a series, and this is a story from that book. We're not going to be narrating the entire thing today in this episode, so it's going to like be a nice good series, and I'm just so excited.
Yep.
So anyways, so this story is titled Shadow in the Dark. March 5th, 1956. Pa is father in Hindi. Pa received the appointment letter to join the Agriculture Institute at Wildflower Hall as its principal. It was an isolated building about 15 kilometers beyond Shimla. My family had lived in many remote places, so this transfer was accepted without any concern. Apart from a few towns and scattered villages, the rest of Himachal was anyhow endless, lonely stretches of high rugged mountains and arcane valleys. Himachal is so beautiful.
Oh,
so if you are planning a trip to India, Himachal Pradesh should be on the top of your list, because the entire North India I really love, because it's hilly, it's surrounded by the Himalayas, which are like the iconic mountain range. So we haven't been there yet, but it's on top of our bucket list.
Yeah.
So if you are planning a trip to India, please go visit the North India, and Himachal is like one of the best places. Moving on. Enclosed by a lush, thick pine and deodar forest, wrapped by tranquil silence barring sporadic sounds of nature, it was a divine place to live. Deodar trees are actually
very famous,
and the locals like are very fond of these trees, and these trees
are, they have a good smell.
Yeah,
or these, something.
Yeah, something like that. These trees are 100 years old, like 100 plus year old. So, yeah. Trees do live long, so yeah.
It's not a huge thing.
Yeah, but yeah, it's beautiful. This majestic structure stood on the ridge of a mountain range at 8,250 feet above the sea level, with no sign of any other human habitation for miles around it. That's my worst nightmare. Yeah. That is 100%. Oh my gosh. There were no distractions for the residents, no shops, no noisy bazaars. Bazaars is like a flea market. Bazaars. Even a roadside dhaba or tea shop within the radius of 5 kilometers. Dhaba is like a small hotel. The building has withstood the travails of time. Though the initial structure has been lost to a fire, and the calm to a busy market at its foot. But once the uphill road towards Wildflower Hall initiates, one gets to experience some measure of the original solitude. When Pa joined it, the institute was in its rudimentary stage, with about 15 male students enrolled for the course. The workforce comprised of 5 faculty members, 3 clerical and some general staff, not to miss one night guard. Pa was the only person residing there with his family, as most others were bachelors. My family lived in the east wing of the ground floor. Rest of the ground floor housed offices and laboratories. The first floor had lecture rooms, and the top floor was allocated for students and the faculty's boarding. The rest of the staff lived in the row of quarters on the west side, behind the main building. I was too small to have understood the bizarre experiences my family underwent there.
Ooh.
But so often have these incidents been narrated at the family get-together that I feel I have been a direct participant. It began with Pa's younger brother Narendra, Nangi for short. About 25 then, tall, handsome and reckless. After earning bachelor's degree in engineering, he had recently joined the State Public Works Department and had been posted for the past few months at Jiori, about 150 kilometers beyond Shimla, bordering the district of Kinnaur. My family shifted to Wildflower Hall a few months after Nangi had left for Jiori. Towards the end of May, have gotten an overdose of loneliness. Nangi called up Pa to apprise him of his plan of visiting us a week later. He had been checked on the location and the directions to reach our residence. He would be taking the last bus on Friday that left Jiori at about 6 in the evening and reach us at around 10:30. He happily informed. No, take an early bus, Nangi. 6 will be too late to start, Pa protested. He knew how absurdly foolhardy his younger brother was. Bhai ji, bhai is brother in Hindi. Bhai ji, I need to attend to some urgent meeting that Friday noon and cannot leave before that. I wish I will be with you latest by 11. That is not too late, unless you sleep very, very early.
Not too late for us.
Yeah. Pa insisted, don't be silly, Nangi. Night journey is not safe on that route. I know the road. It's too narrow and dangerous. I insist that you start latest by the afternoon on Friday or take an early bus on Saturday. Just do what he says.
Yeah.
It's like maybe a few hours later, right?
Yeah.
A day later.
Just do it.
Yeah. Why do you want to risk, you know, getting hurt or something. Nangi complained, but my leave begins on Saturday and I don't want to waste a day traveling. That makes sense.
Come on.
A little bit. A little bit.
But still.
Yeah.
For your safety, it's good.
Yeah. But he's eager to see the family. Yeah. Mm. So we are like fighting both sides here. Anyways. Nangi, safety comes before anything else.
That's me.
This is like literally the contrast. Like, I am Nangi and you are definitely Pa. So, yeah, I'm the kind of a risk taker and you are the safety person. Leave early on Saturday then. Pa ordered. Shall try. Then, realizing his brother's concern, Nangi tried risking it. You don't have to worry about me. I won't be taking any risk. Just a normal bus ride. And you know our Himachali drivers who drive on this route. They are the best. Before his brother could say more, the 2-minute trunk call, the only means of electronic communication those days, was over. That is... Yeah. I would love to learn more about the trunk call. I think it was like for a limited duration of time, right?
I think so.
So anyone older here could, you know, give us a bit more context.
Mm.
Knowing Nangi well, Pa knew that he would catch the late evening bus on Friday or none. The road was accident prone. It wasn't worth taking risks. Moreover, it would not be easy to locate the isolated building at night, which sat in the middle of nowhere. Also, an uphill climb of more than a kilometer would have to be covered on foot, and there was no roadside lighting yet. No, Nangi. I am Pa now.
Now we're both Pa.
Yeah. After putting down the receiver and shaking his head in worry and irritation, Pa voiced his apprehension to Ma. Ma is mother. Nangi knows I will remain worried till he reaches here on time. But he won't. He just won't listen.
Pa is so mean.
Yeah. Anyways, Friday, as he had expected, was a hectic one for Nangi. He wanted to finish all the assignments so that he could spend a peaceful holiday with his brother and his family. Reaching late in the middle of the night or being alone in a secluded place were the matters that bothered him the least. At 6, he sent a pune to the bus stop to request the driver to wait for him. He then hurried home to pick up his stuff and rushed to catch the last bus to Shimla. Once inside the bus, he settled down on his reserved seat behind the driver. Dheem Singh, the bus conductor, with a large curved-up mustache that made him look more like a warrior than a bus conductor, approached him to check if he was comfortable. Nangi was, after all, a special passenger, an educated sahab. Wow. The bus will reach Shimla at about 11:30. We are late today. He's already going so late and then the bus is late now.
Wow.
No. He responded to Nangi's query with a large gratifying grin, with scanning that Nangi was the cause for the delay. No. Nangi returned his grin with a sheepish smile and simultaneously calculated that he would reach his destination latest by 11. Stretching his legs on the aisle, he surveyed his co-passengers. There were only 8 more travelers.
Huh?
They were all local, apparent from their outfit. They acknowledge Khanangi's presence with polite smiles and namaste, which is like an Indian version of hello. And Nangi returned their greetings. Before boarding the bus, he had noted a few large jute sacks stuffed with local produce, chiefly potatoes, on the rooftop carrier. The crop fetched a better price at Shimla market. A few were perhaps going to purchase supplies from Shimla for their business establishments here. Okay. Completing the scrutiny, Nangi settled down to read Ernest Hemingway's The Old Man and the Sea.
Yeah, I've heard about
it. Yeah, the book that had fetched the author the Nobel Prize in Literature 2 years ago. The rickety bus plying on the narrow bumpy road kept him alert and his attention divided between the book and the road. It was certainly not an easy drive. He and his 8 co-passengers were entirely at the mercy of the driver's proficiency. My
the driver's not good.
Goodness.
Something could happen to them.
My goodness. The scenic beauty around was stunning and not worth missing even for the engrossing book. The almost straight walls of the high mountains stood on one side and deep cliffs dropped down hundreds of feet into the narrow gorge on the other, where gushed the river Sutlej through its rapids, cascading and roaring. Sometimes the river ran almost next to the road through a broad valley, calm and serene, adding spurting music to the rattle of the bus. Then it began to drift away. There in the fading light, it looked like a silver band waving in a breeze. At places, if Nandi peeped out of the window, it gave him a fright, as there seemed hardly any road between the wheels of the bus and the sudden drop from the precipice. Oh. It was started raining. Focused his attention on the tall, staley coniferous that converted the hillsides. The undergrowth had rendered the hills lush green. A few curves later, the vegetation was suddenly gone as if by a magic spell, and the mountain became bare and rocky.
What?
The rocks were a spectacle of colors, light gray, slate gray, green, blazing copper. Huge rocks jutted out of the mountain wall, ready to roll down. There was occasional rain of small rocks. This part was known to be very unstable, and the drivers had to be at full alert in case a big boulder began rolling down all of a sudden.
What is this?
Nandi sat stiff at the edge of the seat, sending quick silent prayers.
Yes.
He was well versed with the geology of the region, which now in the fading twilight seemed even more daunting. Soon nightfall began to engulf the landscape. Eventually, only a small portion of the dark road gleamed in the highlights of the bus. The day's tiredness began to overtake Nandi, and he dozed off and into a dreamless sleep.
No, don't sleep!
Screech! Nandi was roughly jolted out of his sleep. His head hit the glass partition of the driver's cabin with a bang.
No.
His eyes flew open. He found his heart racing and head spinning. After a few seconds, he managed to sit upright in his seat. He breathed deeply, rubbing his head. Why
why had the bus came to a stop so roughly. The driver was sitting frozen on his seat. He then turned and gave Nandi a pale apologetic smile. He was visibly shaken. Nandi watched him join his hands and mumble prayers to his to the little lord of Lord Hanuman.
My favorite.
It was absolutely dark outside. Nandi shadowed his eyes with his palm to peep out of the window. There was no visible light indicating human habitation. Electricity hadn't reached the remote villages yet. So people used kerosene lamps, but on the mountains even the faint light was visible from far. Nandi spotted none. He checked the time by his watch. It was 15 minutes to 8. He had barely slept for about 20 minutes. He got up to check with the driver why he decided to stop the bus in this wilderness with such an incredible jolt. The driver and the conductor were hurriedly jumping off the bus. Nandi followed suit. He found the conductor sitting on his haunches, aiming light from a torch at the bus's belly, and the driver half under the bus. Why wasn't he inspecting the engine? Nandi frowned. The driver then straightened up and shook his head. Nandi's heart skipped a beat, nothing the disappointment on his face. All should be well with the bus. He had no intentions of spending the night out there in these forsaken surroundings. By and by, the other passengers too got down from the bus, rubbing their hands or shoulders. Nandi stroked his head where a big painful lump had begun to form.
He banged his head.
Sorry, Sahib, with his hand joined in an apology. The driver, Ram Prasad, directly addressed Nandi, confirming his worst fears. We are in a deep soup. The front aisle has broken.
No way.
Nandi shook his head in frustration. Oh hell, what happened? Sahib, I hit the big boulder. I saw it only at the last minute. He pointed towards the direction they had just covered, and Bhim Singh aimed the torchlight there. As I negotiated this blind curve, there it lay in the middle of the road. Doesn't it seem that someone has planted it there? Deliberately, with the intention to create trouble. Frowns deepened on many foreheads, and before I could apply bar brakes, the aisle hit and broke. With his arms limply hanging on the sides, Ram Prasad stood resigned and helpless, looking from one person to another, seeking their support. All eyes worryingly scrutinized the blind curve, and then the large boulder. No one uttered a single word. Bhim Singh came to his partner's aid. Sahib, Ram Prasad had the presence of mind to immediately steer the bus towards the mountain side before coming to a halt. If he had lost control, the bus would have rolled down the deep gorge.
That was the plan.
Yeah.
Whatever. Whoever.
Yes. He folded his hands to thank the one who had saved them from such a fate. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, he chanted a number of times. The passengers looked at each other. Perhaps someone would come up with a rescue plan. All eyes finally came to rest on Nandi. He was an engineer with the Public Works Department and hence important for those who used to these underdeveloped roads on a daily basis. He was in authority to lessen their woes.
Good.
Nandi knew well that at this particular stretch the hillside was very weak. Frequently big boulders rolled down and crashed on the road. The huge ones even tore down the road, and dashing down the gorge they plunged into the river with such a deafening explosion that it shook the earth.
No.
People could hear it even a 50 miles away.
Wow.
He had surveyed quite a few such road damages in the past few months of his job. But without his workforce, presently he was as helpless as any of them. He simply shrugged his shoulders. Ram Prasad rumbled his tumble in frustration. This area is a menace for the drivers. A number of times I have removed such huge blockages from the road with the help of the passengers. There have also been instances of vehicles getting directly hit by the rolling boulders. He looked at his passengers gathered around him. Perhaps you know about the accident that took place just 2 months ago. A huge boulder crashed a jeep. All 6 passengers died on the spot.
No.
He shook his bowed head sadly and simultaneously pointing at the bus. There is a mirror irritant. Minor irritant. Nandi stood still. He knew about the accident. The jeep belonged to his department. A senior officer was visiting from the head office for inspection. He too was to travel in the jeep that day.
No.
But he had been taken ill. With an intestinal infection. His junior had volunteered to go instead.
Oh no, the poor junior. But
it was a sad and unnerving accident, but he was thankfully to God for his providential escape. As of now, they were in serious trouble. He regretted not paying heed to his brother's advice.
He should have listened to Pa.
He had caught an earlier bus today. He wouldn't be stranded in this isolated place, in this dark night.
The buses shouldn't actually be running that lake, yeah. Is what I feel.
Yeah.
If it's so dangerous in the dark.
It must have been a minor problem for the bus crew. For they were used to such adversities and were mentally prepared. For him, this was a huge cause of distress. The thought of spending the whole night in these lonely jungles was worrisome. On top of this, his brother would be extremely anxious if he didn't reach on time. There was no way he could inform him now.
No.
The night was getting colder. He shivered despite the woolen pullover he was wearing. He rubbed his hands to warm them and then folded his arm to cover his chest. Ram Prasad, we need to remove the boulder from the road before some other vehicle hits it. There was an immediate reaction. All rushed to follow his advice. In the torchlight facilitated by Bhim Singh, they pushed the boulder down the ravine. It was only after a minute that they heard a booming splash from the dark depths.
Yeah, the boulder.
Nandi borrowed Bhim Singh's torch and left the group gathered around the bus gazing at it, as if they were observing an antique relic in a museum. He walked across the road and peered in the dark as far as he could. Beyond the 4 meters broad road, he faced a huge black chasm. The mountain reached out of his vision, plunging into abrupt darkness, and then rose again into another colossal, formidable dark range on the far side. No lights, not even headlights of any vehicles, were visible anywhere. The moon was yet to rise to relieve them of the near total darkness that engulfed them. He regarded the towering Himalayan mountains, generally imposing, serene and dignified. They appeared a terrifying army of hulks that had surrounded the poor, hapless bus passengers and wanted to swallow them. The usually elegant deodar, fir and cheer pine trees seemed like uncountable black daunting trolls closing in on them.
How different the nature is, yep, during the day and the night. It's so, like, I mean, I can't even describe it. It's so scary in the night, and then it's so beautiful. Wow.
The surge of the rivers, Sutlej, reverberated thunderlessly in the entire surroundings like an outlandish battle cry. It all sent his heart pounding. He shivered and cursed his luck. Only today the bus had to break down. He shook his head and turned to regard the bus. It was stuck immobile, wedged against the mountain, a useless piece of metal now. The eerie silence was thankfully being broken by human voices, and Nandi was suddenly grateful for the company. He rushed back to join the rest who were busy imparting their impractical opinions.
And that is where we are ending this. So we are not ending the episode yet. There's more things to come, but this is where we are ending this story. And we and you guys are going to have to wait for another week to find out what happened.
I can't
to
wait.
Nandi. So we are going to be fair, and we are not going to be reading the book. We're going to like go through it.
I will
hide
you guys. The book.
Yeah, definitely, 100%. So I'm so curious to know what happens to Nandi.
I'm just so frightened for him.
Yeah, and the other passengers. Yeah, it's so frightening. I mean, he should have just listened, and
I was
and not just him, but like, just going back to the point where no buses should run that late.
Yeah,
especially if the situation
in the hilly areas. In the hilly areas.
So it's so dangerous, and I understand like some people might want to go home, but still it's such a huge risk, and they should not do it. They should just not do it. So we now are going to be narrating two more stories, just like we did before. One I'm going to narrate and one a novel.
Yeah.
So I'm excited for what we have in store.
Mm-hmm.
Alright, yeah. So who do you want to go first? Do you want to go first or should I go first?
Let me go first.
Alright. So excited.
Thump, 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 drag.
Huh?
Thump, thump, drag. Okay. One night, a 16-year-old girl was babysitting for two young boys. Their parents weren't due to come home until very late. So, she let them stay up and watch some TV. One of the boys was flipping channels when he came to an emergency news bulletin. The reporter said that a crazed murderer had escaped from a nearby insane asylum.
Oh no.
And he was on the run from the local authorities.
No way.
He was believed to be in the area and was armed with a hatchet. The police cautioned residents to lock their doors and windows because the man was extremely dangerous. The two young boys began to panic and the babysitter didn't want them to get upset, so she put them to bed early. As she tucked them in, they kept asking her if she had locked all the doors and windows. She assured them that she would lock everything. Then she went back downstairs and resumed watching television. Sometime later, one of the boys was awoken by a loud crash. He wasn't sure if it was his imagination, so he sat up in bed and listened intently. After a while, he began to hear weird sounds coming from downstairs. Drag, thump, thump, drag, thump, drag.
What is that?
He wondered if he was just letting his imagination run away with him. Maybe it was just the sound of the babysitter watching television downstairs.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Thump, thump, drag, thump, thump, drag, thump, thump, drag.
No.
The boy heard the sound again and woke his brother. Together, they listened at the door to the bedroom. Thump, thump, drag, thump, thump, drag, thump, thump, drag.
What is happening?
Yeah. The boys began to shake with fear. Terrified, they pushed their beds up against the door and barricaded themselves inside their bedroom. Fir se, thump, thump, drag, thump, thump, drag, thump, thump. The sounds eventually stopped. But the boys were too afraid to leave the safety of their rooms.
Mm.
For hours they cowered in their bedroom with their beds jammed securely against the door.
Mm.
Later that night, when the boys' parents returned, they were shocked to find a gruesome scene.
Oh my god, the babysitter is dead.
Yeah. There was a trail of blood leading from the hallway all the way up to the stairs. In a panic, the mother screamed out her son's names. When the two boys heard their mother calling, they pulled back their beds and opened the bedroom door. Lying at the top of the stairs, in a pool of her own blood, was their babysitter. Her arms had been cut off at the elbow and her legs had been cut off at the knees. She had used her bloody stumps to drag herself up the stairs trying to warn them. Now that's one dedicated babysitter.
Wow. Whoa! Thump, thump. She struggled so hard to warn the boys. Thank God that she did that so that the boys were scared and they pushed the bed. Whoa. I feel for the babysitter.
Yeah.
So poor. Sad.
So
no gruesome. Way, maniac. My God. That explains the thump thump drag.
Thump thump drag.
My God. Huh. So my story is titled Flight 401. Now we love disappearing flight stories, so yes. This is like going our to favorite. Be our favorite. In 1972, Eastern Airlines Flight 401 crashed into the Florida Everglades, claiming 101 lives, including those of Captain Robert Bob Loft and flight engineer Donald Don Repo. Parts of the plane, especially those in the galley, were deemed reusable and were therefore salvaged and installed in other planes in Eastern's fleet. That's when the alleged paranormal appearances began. On planes where salvaged parts had been installed, the ghosts of Bob Loft and Don Repo started to turn up. In one instance, the story goes that an airline VP had a pleasant conversation with a man in a captain's uniform shortly after boarding. He realized halfway through that he recognized the man as the deceased Captain Bob Loft. In another tale, a flight attendant reported seeing the face of Don Repo in an oven door. She grabbed two other members of the crew to come take a look just in time to hear the specter say, "Watch out for fire in this plane." Sure enough, the engine failed on the return flight and was shut down just before catching the fire. It didn't take long before stories of these ghostly encounters began to circulate, almost always sharing a common thread. Those friendly phantoms were trying to protect the planes and those aboard. The sightings weren't limited to just crew either. There were several reports of passengers seeing the same ghosts as well. Eventually, the threat of bad press and the crew's fear prompted the airline to remove all salvaged parts from the affected jets.
Okay.
That didn't, however, halt the release of the book The Ghost of Flight 401, as well as a movie by the same title. We have to watch this movie now. Yeah. I'm so curious. I like that they were trying to protect the other flights, and I think they should have just kept the salvaged parts because their ghosts weren't dangerous in any way. Anyways, so I think the next movie to watch would probably be Flight 401. You guys can watch it too and let us know how you think it is. Alright, so do you have a gag joke for us?
Yes, I do.
This segment is going to be frustrating for me, but I'm going to see how it goes.
Why did the pitcher go to jail?
Why did the pitcher? It was captured.
It was framed.
Do you guys ever laugh on these? Because I rarely do.
Okay. What do you call a man with a rubber toe?
Rubber toe. I hate these so much. I hate these. Anyways, thank you so much for listening. This is definitely like our favorite thing to do. And we've said it again and again. We could not stress it enough. And we hope that you are liking this new layout. We are just trying a few different things at this point, and we'll stick with what we feel is the best. And and of course we need your feedback as well, so if you have any, then please do let us know. And if you have a ghost story of your own, then send them in on our email or on our Instagram. That's creepytales69 on email and creepytales on, I think it's 692 on Insta.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, I don't remember. Anyways, it's creepytales something. Yeah, you can get back. Anyways, thank you so much for listening.
Thank you.
And we'll see you in the next episode. Bye, guys.
Bye.
Love you.